Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Chumas Daf Kuf Gimel, and we are starting Kuf Beis Amud Beis, the bottom line, right at the beginning of the Gemara, after the Mishnah, and the Vilna Torah Sadaf, it's on Nun Vav Amud Beis, and today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Merim Sar Bas Yaakov Maisha, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we start explaining the Mishnah bit by bit. First part of the Mishnah was, let's say we have Truma seeds, if the Kohen keeps them, so they're not allowed to be eaten by a non Kohen, but if the Kohen throws them away, so they are allowed to be eaten by a non Kohen. So Gemara just clarifies this on Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says, Begalina Agasim Krustamelin Himasnisa, Mish is talking about pear and Krustamelin seeds, which are somewhat edible, so then it depends. If the Kohen wants them, a non-Kohen is not allowed to have them, but if the Kohen doesn't want them, so then a non-Kohen is allowed to have them. But the Mishnah is not talking about seeds that are completely not edible. Those would be mutter to non-Kohanim. And by the same token, seeds that are 100% edible are not permitted to non-Kohanim, even if the Kohen doesn't want them. Kuf Gimel Aleph on the top, Omer Blazer. Blazer says, Bafilu Teir Begal Ina Reitev. We can even be talking about moist seeds, for example, date pits that are still moist, but Mechusar Lematzmeitz, they're still fit for sucking on. One can lick or suck these seeds and he gets the moisture out of them. That also could be what the Mishnah is referring to. And if the Kohen doesn't want them, so then they're not considered food and Yisrael is allowed to have them. However, the Gemara tells us right away that can't be because of Tanina we learned in the Mishnah, V'chein Atzamas Hektish, also Hektish bones. If the Kohen doesn't want them, so then Yisrael is allowed to have them. Well, Issachar Meir Mechuzaris L'Matzmeitz, are you able to say also over here that the Hektish bones are talking about moist ones that are still able to be sucked on? Even if these bones are thrown away by a Kohen, they're not allowed to be eaten by Yisrael because that means they have some kachim on them. And therefore, Loi B'Rashi can find my Sechusim, aren't we talking about the tips of the shoulder blades and cartilage, which is a type of bone? And that's what the Mishnah is referring to, that if the Kohen throws away, so then Yisrael is allowed to have it because it's not considered food. And on Ravo B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Ravo says B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, B'Rosh Kenafayim HaSechusim HiMasnisa, our Mishnah is talking about these bones, this very soft cartilage, that if the Kohen decides to eat it, so it's considered Kodesh, but if not, then it's not considered Kodesh. And we're not talking about moist date pits. Those, even if the Kohen throws away, are still considered Truma, and Yisrael is not allowed to eat them. We continue explaining the Mishnah. We had said, and we differentiated between subin of truma that came from fresh grain, that's chadashos, as opposed to it came from old grain, which is yishanos. Now we just clarify, this is what we're considering fresh grain, if it's normal for people to beat it with sticks and not grind it in a mill, because it's too moist to be ground in a mill, so that's considered fresh. However, if it's dry enough to be ground in a mill, that's already considered old. Rav Acha gives a different explanation, until 30 days, up until 30 days after it's cut down, it's considered new, but after that, it's considered old. Now going to the next part of the Mishnah where we had said that a Kohen is allowed to sift his Truma flour. It's not considered like he's wasting Truma by sifting it. However, the maximum he's allowed to do, said the Mishnah, is he can take a saw of Truma flour and sift it down, refine it to a kav or two kav of fine flour. And the stuff that he sifted out as well has to be kept to the side. He has to put it in a safe place. Now the Gemara tells us, Ravo says, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Kein hi shiura, this is the shear. Meaning this is the maximum amount he's allowed to refine this flour to. Starting out with the saw, to two kav or to one kav. Ask more, we have a steer of a ton of Brasa tells us, Mesalas Bechitin Kolshu, right? If a person's refining his flour, he could do it to even the most minute amount, which means he could keep on sifting it and refining it more and more, even if he just ends up with a tiny bit of Truma flour. And by the same token, Umakanev Biyara Kolshu, right? He can continue trimming leaves off of the vegetable that he has. For example, if he has a head of lettuce, he can continue trimming off those leaves. Even if he's coming out with a tiny amount, he's allowed to trim away as much as he wants. So this clearly seems not like our Mishnah. And here's the answer. That's a proper girsa. This brass is really just a clarification of the Mishnah. It's telling us that he's allowed to sift his flour down, or he's allowed to trim his vegetables away until tamartoi, it's tamar, which means it's core. In other words, the brass is just clarifying what the minimum shear is that he's allowed to do. If we're talking about flour, he's allowed to do it kol shehu. And what is kol shehu? Well, that's what our Mishnah said, up until a kav or two kav. And if we're talking about yerek, greens, for example, lettuce, like we said, he's allowed to do it till the core, where there's still small leaves, but not more than that. So there's no steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Whereas Rav Yirmiyah says, B'shem Rav Ila, a different answer, kan b'shnei ra'avayin, kan b'shnei seiva. Our Mishnah is talking about shnei ra'avayin. It's a year of hunger, so he's not allowed to trim it away so much. But the Braisa is talking about that it's a year of plenty, and therefore people aren't as makbid with how much they're trimming away. He's even allowed to trim away a lot of the green, and he's allowed to sift away a lot of the flour as well, and it's not considered like ruining truma. Continuing on, Taman Tanin over there, we learned in a Mishnah, Maseches Edios, Mei Avatiach, the insides of melon. This is referring to when you cut open a melon, and there's that very like liquidy pulp with all the seeds inside, Uknuvas Yarek, and the trimmings of greens, Shel Truma. Both these things we're talking about are truma. Reb Daisa Matir Lazarev, Vacham Eisrin. Reb Daisa says that a non-Kain is allowed to eat these things, because they were thrown away by the Kain, so they're not considered truma anymore. Whereas a Chamim Aser a non-Kain from eating them. Now, Ravo says, Rav Shem Rabbi Yechanan, This was only taught that the Chachamim asered a non-kohen from eating these things. We're talking about trimmings of greens that gardeners did. That's because these gardeners aren't makbid, and they trim away much more than the usual from the greens, and that means that they're throwing away edible food. And that edible food is truma, so it's not allowed to be eaten by a non-kohen. But if we're talking about the trimmings of greens of balabatim, of homeowners, even the Rabbanu would agree to Reb Daisa that a non-kohen is allowed to eat those trimmings, because balabatim are very careful how much they trim away. And if they decided to trim this leaf, it must be that it's spoiled and it's no good. That means it loses its status as truma, and it's allowed to be eaten by a non-kohen, even according to the Rabbanon. Now, Rabban Bayer Rabban suggested the following. Lai mistabra, wouldn't it be logical to say the truma gedayla, that we're talking about truma gedayla, meaning the only time you'd be allowed to eat these trimmings is when we're dealing with truma gedayla? Why is that? Because truma gedayla is taken ba'aymed. As we know from the beginning of the Masechta, you only take out truma by estimation. And really, chita achas b'teres sakri, one little bit patters everything. So when we have trimmings of greens of truma gedayla, really midaraisa, those trimmings aren't truma anyway. They're only truma midrabanon. And since they were trimmed away by the kayin and he wants to throw them out and he treats them as spoiled, so then we could say, okay, a non-kayin's allowed to eat them. Aval b'trumas meiser, but when we're dealing with trumas meiser, ain ha'alin truma al ha'alin, that's the proper girsa, and v'lai klachin truma al klachin. Leaves can't be truma on leaves, and stalks can't be truma on stalks. In other words, when the levy receives his 10% meiser reshine, and now he has to take 10% off for trumas meiser, that 10% is not ba'aymed, it's not by estimation, it's a precise 10%, which means memela, when he's taking off trumas meiser, some of the leaves that he's going to be giving, or some of the stalks that he's going to be giving, are going to be edible, and some are not going to be as edible. But everything is included in this tenth that's trumas meiser. So even leaves of trumas meiser that are not so edible cannot be eaten by non-kohanim, because they're all part of the trumas meiser cheshbon. And therefore, we have this difference between truma gedayla and trumas meiser. On to Kof Gimel and Beis on top, we had said in the Mishnah, Chinu mitzes v'chulu, and this was talking about when we were emptying truma oil from one barrel or one pitcher into another. And we had said that once all the oil was transferred, all we have to do is wait for 3 drops to come out. And once those last 3 drops come out, he's allowed to take that original container that used to have the truma oil in it and put chulin oil in. And if there happens to be some truma oil here still, it's not a problem. It's batal in the chulin. However, hirchinu mitzes, if he had tilted the barrel, which means if he basically put it back to the way that it was, and then some more oil pooled in the bottom before he put the chulin oil in, so then that oil that pooled at the bottom for sure is truma, and he's not allowed to put any chulin in until he pours out that truma oil. So Gemara asked Tamatanin over there, we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Baba Basra, when we're talking about buying and selling, if Reuven sells oil to Shimon, empties out the entire jug, waits for 3 drops to come out, and then hirchinu mitzes, he put his jug back down, let it sit, and then more oil pooled, harei shel meicher. That oil belongs to the meicher, and it doesn't belong to the lekeach. And now we're gairas v'hachat amar hachin, and here you say this? By truma, you're saying the opposite, that hirchinu mitzes, whatever pulled at the bottom is the kayin's, it's considered truma. But when Reuven's selling oil to Shimon, whatever pulls at the bottom belongs to the seller, Reuven, and not to Shimon. But why? Shimon bought the contents of the entire barrel. It should belong to Shimon. So Rabbi Yechon says, less kan shel meicher el shel lekeach. You're right, the proper girsa is that it doesn't belong to the meicher, it belongs to the lekeach. Just like in our scenario, where whatever pulled on the bottom belongs to the kayin. And we're not guards the next 4 words because we just regards them before. And the Gemara continues, Amar Yitzchak bar Elazar, he gives a totally different answer. And actually, we stick with our original understanding in that buying and selling case, that whatever pulls at the bottom belongs to the meicher. Why is that? Mishum yiyush, because of yiyush. The lekeach gives up hope. He doesn't think he's going to get any more oil out of this barrel. Shimon bought the whole barrel from Reuven. Reuven emptied it into Shimon's barrel. He even waited till 3 drops came out, and that's it. Shimon doesn't think he's going to get any more. And if some happens to pool at the bottom, that belongs to the seller and not to the buyer. The Gemara asks, "Vaf b'kaidish kain?" Do we say the same thing by kaidish? So Asr Bavo b'shem Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Bavo came and said the name Rabbi Yechonon. Vaf b'kaidish kain. We say the same thing by kaidish. Now we just clarify what this means. Rabbi Shai says, "Lo yishanu el b'kadshim shi'ash lan matirin." This was only taught by kadshim that have matirin. For example, oil of menachos. We know that when a carbon mincha is made, so after the kaimitz is taken and burned on the mizbeach, the rest of the oil, the rest of the mincha, belongs to the kehanim. And once all that oil was taken and eaten by the kehanim, and the last 3 drops dripped out of the kli, so anything left in it is not considered nicer. Avol b'kadshim she'ein lahen matirim. When we're talking about kadshim that do not have matirin, for example, wine for nesachim has to be poured on the mizbeach, and we need an exact shear. And there's no such a thing that if we have leftover wine, it's permitted to be drunk. So afilu kol shehu tzarech lahachzir, even the smallest amount has to be returned, meaning even the smallest amount would have to be put on the mizbeach. In other words, when the kohen pours the wine in the mizbeach for the nesachim, he has to wait till every single drop comes out. And if he turns the kli back, and a little while later he comes and he sees that there's a little bit that's pooled on the bottom, he has to pour that out as well. And actually, if he doesn't, he's over an isser. And that's because we have to have a precise measure of wine, for example, for the nesachim. And if he doesn't have every single drop drip out, he's over Esser of not pouring all that wine. Rav Barchi Abayir, Rav Barchi asks the following question: Hadein loig shemen shel metzayra? What about this loig of oil that a metzayra has to bring? Some of it is put on him, some of it's put on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is for the kaihanim. Tzarich lahachzir, or ain't it tzarich lahachzir? Does he have to return every drop of oil? Meaning, do we have to squeeze every last drop or not? And this is referring to when this loig shemen of metzayra was in one kli, and then it was transferred into another one. Do we have to make sure that every single drop of oil comes out of that first kli or not? And in a way, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because in Tamar Tzarich lahachzir, if you want to say that every single drop has to be returned, meaning we have to make sure that we get every single last bit of oil from kli 1 into kli 2, v'loy hechzir, if he doesn't do that, over mishum chisarin. So he's over for chisarin, not having that full loig of shemen. And in Tamar Ein Tzarich lahachzir, if you want to say that he doesn't have to get every single drop of oil out, v'hechzir, and he did do so, over mishum yisrain. That means that he's over on putting too much oil, because according to this, the shear is a loig of shemen, but only the loig of shemen poured out with three drops coming out at the end, and not the little bit that pulls in at the end after he lets the kli sit. And if he takes that little bit and pours it in as well, so that's too much of a shear. Now, Rav Chanina lo yamar kein. Rav Chanina did not have this girsa. He had a different version in what Rav Ishaya said. El rather, what was his version? Amar Rav Ishaya, Rav Ishaya said as follows: Loi shanu el b'kachim sheishlan matirin. It is only taught by kachim that has matirin, afil b'kachim sheinlan matirin, but by kachim that doesn't have matirin, afil kalshu tzarich lahachzir. Even if it's a kalshu, he has to put it back. And this is the same as we had before. And here's where it's different than before. This is a question of Rav Ishaya. V'adein loig shem shal matzayra. This loig of oil that a matzayra has to bring, loike kachim sheishlan matirin in, isn't it considered like kachim that has matirin? Because kaihanim do get to benefit from this oil. V'temer tzarich lahachzir. And you say that every single drop of oil has to be returned, meaning we have to make sure that we get every drop of oil out of kli number one and put it into kli number two? And that's the question of Rav Ishaya. Now, Hada Amr, this question tells us that tzarich lahachzir, he has to get every single drop of oil out. V'loi hechzir, if he didn't do that, over mishum chisarin, he's over for not having enough of a shear. Now, one more thing that has to do with this concept of herchino umitzes, Tani Rav Chalafta ben Shol. Rav Chalafta ben Shol teaches in a braisa, kider shebishal ba truma, an earthenware pot that had truma cooked in it, magila b'cham and shleisha pa'amin v'dayoy. He just has to do hagala three times in boiling hot water, and that's sufficient, and he's allowed to use it for chulin afterwards. And Amar Bar Rav says, ve'ein lemeidin umeno le'inyin nevela. We do not learn from this truma case to nevela, meaning if we have an earthenware pot that had nevela cooked in it, we can't just do hagala, because we say the nevela stays inside the earthenware pot, and it's not going to come out because of hagala. So kuftal Amar Alf on top, Amar Rav Yesi says, Kashai Sikumi Rabba, I asked in front of Rabba, Truma Ba'avin Misa, Unevela Beloy Sase. This or of a non-kain eating Truma is Misa B'dei Shemaim. This or of somebody eating Nevela is only a Loy Sase. Vatam or Hachin, and you're saying this? You're being more makel with Truma than with Nevela? That doesn't make sense. So Amar Lehi responded to him, Commando Amar Meilein Kibbo Alein is a Maestris. We're going according to the Mando Amar that Bizmana Zeh, after Chubin Beis HaMikdash, we accepted Truma and Maestris upon ourselves, and that means that Truma nowadays is only Midrabanon, and therefore it's more makel than Nevela. However, Yossi Bar Shunem Ba Kumi Rav Mana, Rav Yustei Bar Shunem asked in front of Rav Mana, Taninon, we have learned in our Mishnah, Imir Chinu Mitzes, Hareza Truma. If after he poured all the oil out of the jug, and he waited for three drops to come out, and then he put it back down, and some pooled at the bottom, that which pooled at the bottom is considered Truma. V'hatam Arhachin, and you're saying this? We see very clearly from the Mishnah that even after you totally emptied the Kli from its contents, and you waited till some dripped out, if you let it sit for a little bit, some more is going to come out. So you should be Chayshish the same thing with this pot that had Truma cooked in it, that it's constantly being pilot, there's still stuff that's slowly but surely coming out of the walls of the kli, and we shouldn't be allowed to use it for chulin afterwards. However, Amalei, he answered him, Kanali dehu ur nigal v'yotza. Over here, because of the heat of the fire, it comes out of the pot. You're right, if you just cook truma inside this pot and you didn't do hagala, so then even after some time, there's still going to be some truma coming out and you wouldn't be allowed to use it for chulin. But here, since you did hagala, you put it in boiling hot water and that purged it, that cleaned it out, that heat of the fire got everything to come out of the walls, so therefore we're mekel and we allow you to use the pot for truma. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.